This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, welcome on into the season finale, folks. Saints taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Week 18 action will start with a high noon kickoff in Tampa Bay as the Saints look to play the role of spoiler against the Buccaneers. Steve Geller, Charlie Long, Cullen Steele bringing you till 10 a.m. That's when the Bud Light countdown, the kickoff takes over with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. And as I mentioned, a noon kickoff in Raymond James Stadium. Mike Hawes, Deuce McAllister, and Jeff Nowak on the sideline will be joining us after the first break. Give us a little preview of what things are like in Tampa Bay currently. But Charlie, I mean, here we are, the final game of the year, not exactly where any of us, I think, expected this black and gold bunch to be going into the finale.
Yeah, and you're playing a really good Bucks team, a Bucks team that's gotten hot over the last month and a half at this point, Steve. They won five of their last six to kind of snatch control away from the Falcons in the NFC South. Yeah, no, I know, exactly. So Atlanta to sneak in, they would need the Saints to beat the Buccaneers, which is really funny that Falcons fans have to root for the Saints today.
They need us.
They need us. and that, you know, they would also have to beat the Panthers as well. But the Panthers, you know, they've got their eyes turned to the draft. They've kind of moved on at this point in the season. So Saints 5-11, Buccaneers 9-7. Tampa's looking for their fourth straight NFC South title. Saints fans know how that feels. Granted, the Saints did it a little bit more impressive fashion than the Buccaneers did, winning double-digit games basically every single time they won the NFC South in that four-year run a couple years back. Meanwhile, Tampa Bay is kind of taking advantage of a weak division. I don't know if I would call it the weakest in football, though, Steve. The AFC South is really bad. But, man, the South divisions, they kind of stink, don't they?
Yeah, something about the South, like you said, in both the AFC and NFC,
no bueno,
have not been living up to par. Woke up to news this morning, Charlie, that the Saints have supposedly a favorite for their head coaching role in Aaron Glenn. Tony Polian,
yes,
of Sportsopedia reporting that the Saints are targeted Aaron Glenn, the defensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions, as the favorite to take over as the next head coach.
I'll defer to Bobby on this one because he basically kind of said how I feel as well. Like, Aaron Glenn kind of runs the same defense that Dennis Allen does. Now, we don't know how good of a head coach he'll be. He's done a great job in Detroit with a very limited roster at this point, based off of all the injuries that they've had defensively. I think they basically have a full starting 11 on IR,
right,
on defense. It's unreal how many injuries they've suffered on the defensive side of the ball. They're still winning games, but it's because they're winning games with offense. I mean, we saw what happened on the primetime game Monday Night Football this past week, Steve, when they played the 49ers. That's kind of how the Lions have to win at this point. They need to outscore teams. Like, yes, they may give up 28, 30 points, 31 points.
But they're scoring 35, but they're, right.
Exactly. They're scoring 35 to 40, and that's kind of their formula for victory. So, you know, yes, he's done a good job with the limited resources that he's had this year, and Detroit's having a historic season, which means that likely both of those guys will get poached as far as OC Ben Johnson and DC Aaron Glenn. And obviously the ties to the organization and everything like that makes sense. So that's probably the early favorite as far as names go, but we'll see how it goes as the process, you know, kind of continues.
Yeah, one of the ones I was surprised to see too, I think Diana Russini put out from The Athletic that Chiefs offensive coordinator Matt Nagy is also being eyed by the Saints as their next head coach.
Okay. You know, Aaron Glenn, I'd be willing to give a shot. Matt Nagy was run out of Chicago. He was not good. Like, I don't want to. Yes, I'll pile on. He was bad. So, and it's not even like the Chiefs' offense has been that good this year. Like, they're one of those.
Right, they've been dinged up, obviously.
They're
too
winning because of their defense. Like, Spags' defense has been awesome at points this year. And they're 15-1, but people are still down on the Chiefs because they've escaped a lot of games this past year.
Sure.
And it doesn't feel like a very confident 15-1, as weird as that is to say, right? But anyways, yeah, Matt Nagy, the early reaction I saw to it, it's how I feel as well. So, man.
Yeah, not the name I think a lot of folks wanted to hear as a lead candidate for the Saints.
Yeah, for reference, everyone, he's the OC for the Chiefs. That's why I was kind of dogging on the Chiefs offense, because it hasn't really been that impressive, especially when you have Pat Mahomes and Travis Kelce, two future Hall of Famers. Anyways, Matt Nagy, no. I mean,
the verdict is in from Charlie. No.
I mean, that's just how I feel. And now, Aaron Glenn, once again, I would be willing to potentially give a shot. We'll see what happens with the offseason process. Deuce and Haas were talking about this on Friday, and Deuce said that he expects a head coach to be hired for the Saints by the Super Bowl.
Right.
So, early February. It's going to be pretty quick, in all honesty.
Yeah, my wife was aggravated seeing that the New York Jets are interviewing coaches, GMs, and I'm like, be patient, the Saints will get to it.
Well, yeah, they also need to find a GM because they moved on from Joe Douglas.
Right.
So it's kind of a two-pronged thing that they have to figure out here. Now, the Jets, I think, have interviewed Vrabel for, like, they've also interviewed, I think, Louis Riddick for the GM role.
So, Ron Rivera.
Right. They're getting some names in the hat early on. But, man, as soon as I saw Matt Nagy, I sent it to my buddies. I'm like, is this real? Like, oh boy.
Someone's trolling us here.
Yeah, no. Once again, would not be a fan.
Looking at our LCMC health update as we get ready for this game. LCMC Health, 8 hospitals, 1 promise of keeping you well. The injury report coming out this week for the Black and Gold. We will not see Derek Carr in action. The quarterback still dealing with issues with that non-throwing hand. It's just not allowing him to grip the ball and function as a quarterback. I really didn't expect this to be likely of him being able to play in any of these past 2 games. And I think the Saints need to get that better look of Spencer Rattler anyway. So I'm more excited for Rattler, even though things haven't been the greatest for him. I want to see him hopefully continuing to develop. Derek Carr, just, you know, rest up, get ready for next year. I don't think the Saints will be parting ways with him unless this head coach coming in decides, I don't want Derek Carr as my quarterback, and then that's going to raise a whole other issues with cap casualties.
Yeah, correct. So, real quick, when Derek Carr suffered the injury against the Giants, I think, like, maybe the Monday after, the national reporters were saying that it could be season-ending. And Rizzi had come out and specifically
vehemently. It is not over.
He was strong against that. He's just like, that's really aggressive. We think he'll return at some point. We're not placing him on the season-ending IR. And then just week by week, I guess he didn't progress enough. And so, you know, the buzz early on was right. The 2 fractures that he suffered in his left hand would not allow him to play. And so the simulated games that he went through throughout the week obviously wasn't good enough. So his season's over. And Spencer Rattler, yes, you get, you know, another look at him. At the same time, you know, with Derek Carr this year, you're 5-5. Without him, you're 0-6. And so that's why heading into this game, you see basically the exact same point spread that you saw for that Monday night game against the Packers, where the Saints are 2 touchdown underdogs against the Buccaneers. Now, once again, the Buccaneers are hot entering this game. They've beaten up on some poor teams, but the Saints are a world beater. They're about 2 touchdown favorites in this matchup. And, you know, I think you can understand why. Their offense is humming, Steve. I want to take you back to a couple weeks ago. We picked the Bucs-Chargers game, and all of us picked the Chargers.
Right.
The Chargers were playing well at that point. They still are playing well. They're a playoff team.
Figured no way this Bucs offense can get past that D.
The Bucs put up 40 points.
Embarrassed them, right?
On one of the best defenses in football in the Chargers. Whoa. That was a wake-up call. Because, yes, they've beaten some bad teams in this run, like, you know, the Panthers and all that stuff, who they smoked by, like, 30 points last week. But putting up 40 against the Chargers defense, that was the eye-opening moment. Like, okay, Baker Mayfield, this rushing attack, they're legit. And so Liam Cohen is one of those names that's going to be circulating for head coaching jobs, just like Dave Canales last year.
Right.
Dave Canales was the OC of the Buccaneers. He gets hired on as head coach of the Panthers. And he's done an awesome job in his first year. Look past the record for that situation specifically. The Panthers have a lot of work to do on roster building. But Bryce Young looks competent. And Bryce Young looked nowhere near competent his rookie year or the start of this year. He looked like a complete bust. But Canales was viewed as the quarterback whisperer. He had fixed Geno Smith. He had, quote-unquote, fixed Baker Mayfield. And now he's fixed Bryce Young. It's a weird thing, his reclamation project, so to speak. Anyways, so he moves on from Tampa last year, goes to the Carolina Panthers, and it's been a solid first year despite their record. You know, they got what they wanted out of this year. No one in the Panthers, you know, fan base, front office, anything like that, was expecting them to be a playoff team, a team with a winning record, anything like that, just because the roster wasn't good enough. They just wanted to see development from the guy that they traded a boatload to get in the first overall pick of 2023.
Right, so they have some hope.
Exactly. But you saw that development this year from Bryce. Now, because Canales moved on last year, they got their OC, Liam Cohen, and Cohen's been great. I mean, he has been outstanding this year for the Buccaneers. Let me give you some numbers here, Steve. Scoring offense for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 29.7 points per game, fourth in the NFL. Pretty good. Total offense, 399.9 yards per game, third in the NFL. Rushing offense, 147.3 yards per game, fourth. Passing offense, 252.6 yards per game, third. They're top four in scoring offense, total offense, rushing offense, and passing offense.
Yeah, that's going to get a lot of heads turning, especially in today's modern-day era of football.
So, you know, those teams that are looking for the offensive hotshot coordinator.
Yeah.
Ben Johnson's obviously the first off the list because of what he's done in Detroit and consistently just been awesome. But Liam Cohen's going to get a shot, I think, this offseason coaching cycle. And I want to say it was James Sharko, the host of the Locked On Bucks podcast when we had him. It was like, hey, maybe you guys should get a good look at this guy for your head coach, your next head coaching hire. So, I mean, they'll get a look at him. Liam Cohen, the OC of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I can't say enough good things about what he's done this year. He's been awesome. I mean, the Buccaneers offense, once again, ranks top four in all of those categories. They've been outstanding, and a lot of it is because of that play caller.
Mentioned that Derek Carr is out for this game. Running back Alvin Kamara was hoping to play. He is doubtful, still dealing with that groin issue. We'll find out a little bit more this morning from the Saints when they go through their walkthroughs on if AK is able to go up. But I'm like his status says, I highly doubt we see Kamara in the finale.
And Kendra Miller's out.
Right, he's dealing with concussion. Also out, they downgraded Pete Werner won't play, and also Chris Olave won't be making an appearance in the finale either as he's coming back from that concussion.
We could have probably spent a little bit more time on this, but I'll be pretty brief with it. Mike and I talk about this all the time, especially, you know, in the coming months, come draft time, where we're talking about, you know, the best positions, the position rankings that Mike has, his overall big board, all that good stuff. Draft through the strengths of a draft, right? Like 2 years ago, they didn't do that because they didn't take the tight end. Tight end class was awesome.
No, you're not bitter about that
still
or anything.
Bitter about it. Last year, they did do it. The strength was tackles,
right.
And they got Taliese Fuaga, who's had a very strong rookie year. This year, you know, you can maybe debate like pass rushers are really, really good in this class, but the running back class is awesome. Like, yes, everyone will talk the quarterback class is down. The wide receiver class isn't as good as it was last year. Last year's wide receiver class was great too. But the running back class is really, really good. So, and I'm not advocating to take a running back with the first round pick that he got, which is going to end up in the top 10 in all likelihood. But you probably need to use a premium pick on a running back. Kendra Miller has not really worked out. And
Stay on the field.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And I'll read the stats because Nowak put it out just a little bit ago about his first 2 years in New Orleans. And it's just not gaudy. Like, he shows flashes at times when he's on the field, but he can't stay on the field.
Not enough flashes.
He's played in 14 games in his first 2 years, and he's out for this game as well.
Right.
So, yeah, I think you need to draft a running back, Steve.
You mentioned Jeff Nowak, our Saints sideline reporter, going to take a break. When we get back, we'll be talking to him. He is in Tampa Bay. Set the scene a little for us to find out what the weather's like over there. We're here on First Take. Want to hear from you on the Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. It's 504-260-1870. This is it, folks. Season finale for the Saints. And then, wah-wah, the black and gold football season is over.